Chapter 21. Tim's whirlwind of verbal abuse was drowned out by the stampede of horses surrounding him from all sides. His shouting degenerated into a mindless string of obscenities that even he couldn't hear anymore. Captain Righteous removed his foot from Julian's back and lowered his sword. Tim took the opportunity to breathe.
"Ho!"
shouted the commanding officer, raising his right arm and bringing his horse to a stop. The rest of the horses stopped as well, forming what looked to be an impenetrable circle around the wagon. This was no band of lowly first-level throwaway guards. These were fully fleshed-out, multi-level characters that Mordred had obviously put some time into preparing. No amount of Cooper's rage, Julian's sorcery, Catherine's summonations, Dave's healing, Chaz's music, or Tim's slipperiness was going to get them out of this one. The commanding officer removed his helmet, revealing a full head of gray hair and a luxuriously long mustache to match.
"Captain Righteous Justificus Blademaster," he said, smiling down at the captain. "It's been too long."
Captain Righteous got down on one knee and touched his forehead to the hilt of his sword.
"Major Portheous," he said solemnly, "it is a great honor to be able to serve you again." "Stand up, man,"
the major commanded cheerfully. Captain Righteous jumped to his feet.
"So what do you have for me here today? A rowdy-looking bunch they look to be."
"That they are, sir."
The major scrutinized the group.
"An unusual mix of comrades as well."
He shrugged.
"So, what are the charges you have against these, prisoners?"
"First and foremost, the cold-blooded murder of one of my men, sir. There is also theft, breaking into the manor of Lord—"
"One at a time, Captain," said the major. "Let's start with the murder. My sources tell me you have some pretty damning evidence to support this allegation."
"In addition to the dozens of eyewitnesses I can provide, you'll find the head of the victim in the half-orc's bag."
The major raised his eyebrows, and there was a rumbling murmur from the rest of the soldiers.
"Henderson!"
Major Portheous called out.
"Sir!"
"Kindly fetch the half-orc's bag, would you?"
"Right away, sir."
The major looked at Cooper, who was shifting in his seat, unsure of what to do.
"Easy there, big fella. Don't put yourself in any more trouble than you're already in. You'll get your chance to speak."
Cooper looked at Tim. Tim nodded. Cooper reluctantly released his bag to the soldier that had ridden up to retrieve it.
"Orc scum,"
Henderson muttered as he took the bag from Cooper.
"I covered your mother in orc scum last night."
Despite the gravity of the situation, Chaz and Dave snorted.
"Nice one, Coop,"
said Dave when he got himself under control.
"I don't get it," said Catherine. "Orc scum? What's so funny about—"
"Wait a second, you guys are fucking gross."
A few chuckles echoed from within the helmets of some of the soldiers situated near Henderson.
"Why, you filthy son of a whore!"
shouted Henderson, drawing his sword.
"Henderson!"
shouted Major Portheous.
"Put your sword away! Open the bag and let's see what we've got."
He backed up his horse and muttered under his breath to the soldier next to him.
"Orcs come. It was pretty funny."
"Yes, sir," the soldier responded. "Absolutely hilarious, sir."
The major flinched and then exchanged an awkward glance with Henderson, who looked devastated even with the visor of his helmet down.
"Go on,"
said the major, casting an annoyed glance at the soldier next to him.
"What's in the bag?"
"Yow," said Henderson. "It's a head, all right."
He grabbed the head by the hair and held it up above his head for everyone to see. The air was suddenly filled with echoing gasps, swears, curses, and angry grumbles.
"Silence!" shouted Major Portheous. "Stand up and be judged, half-orc."
Cooper stood up.
"State your name."
"Donald McKinley Cooper."
There was another brief period of murmuring from the crowd on horseback.
"That, said the major, "doesn't sound very orcish."
"It's not,"
said Cooper. The major shrugged.
"All right then, Mr. Cooper, what have you got to say for yourself?"
"Yesterday,"
Cooper began,
"I couldn't even afford a night's lodging."
Tim and his friends exchanged confused looks. Captain Righteous wouldn't have known what Cooper was leading up to any better than the rest of them, but the look on his face suggested that he knew it was bullshit.
Major Portheous, he interrupted. It's obvious that he's...
Quiet, Captain, said the Major politely but firmly. I would hear what the accused has to say before I pass my judgment. Go on, Mr. Cooper.
Cooper continued his story.
I had only one silver piece to my name, and I spent it.
He paused, raising his eyes to face the Major.
I'm not sure I understand, said Major Portheous. Are you saying that you blame society or something for your decision to commit murder?
Not at all, said Cooper earnestly. I'm just saying that I think Henderson's mom owes me some change.
The entire contingent of soldiers roared in laughter. Dave wiped tears from his eyes and fell backwards off the side of the cart, and then continued laughing. Major Portheous punched the arm of the soldier next to him and laughed so hard that he started coughing violently and went red in the face. The only two people who weren't laughing were Captain Righteous, who stood in place stoically, waiting for the laughter to die down, and Henderson, who was shaking and nearly boiling in his armor. His knuckles were white around the hilt of his sword. After a few minutes had passed, Major Portheous collected himself, wiped a tear from each eye, and suppressed the tiny fit of giggles still bubbling to the surface.
Whew, he said. I haven't laughed that hard in years.
He brushed his gray hair back from where it had fallen over his eye.
But the time for laughter is finished. It is my judgment that the accused, Mr. Donald McCartney...
McKinley!
Cooper corrected him.
McKinley Cooper is to be executed here and now by Henderson's sword.
He looked at Henderson, eyebrows raised. Henderson dropped to one knee.
Thank you, sir. Right away, sir. Round the rest of them up, the Major said casually. They can stand trial and be hanged tomorrow morning.
What? Shrieked Catherine.
Sorry, dear, said the Major. Can't afford to make exceptions. You fell in with a bad crowd. There are penalties for murder in this realm.
Two of the soldiers dismounted and brought Dave to his feet. Cooper stood tall in the middle of the wagon, staring the soldiers one by one in the eye, as if daring each to be the first one to try and grab him. Chaz stood back to back with Cooper, but there was no defiance in his face. He cradled his loot in his arms as if he were trying to hide behind it. As a last-ditch effort, he plucked at the strings with trembling hands.
Sleep, baby, sleep,
he sang weakly at the helmeted faces moving slowly and cautiously toward him.
Your father tends the sheep.
Cooper collapsed in a heap behind him.
Fuck.
Thank you, Bard,
said Henderson. He pulled the loot out of Chaz's hands and threw it on the ground. It took three soldiers to haul Cooper's sleeping body off of the cart. They placed him on the ground as gently as they could to avoid waking him up. Tim, Catherine, Julian, and Dave were rounded up easily, with Butterbean being spared on the condition that Catherine order him to keep his distance from the soldiers.
Make it quick, Henderson, said the Major.
Henderson walked over to Cooper and drew his sword.
Tim, whispered Catherine, do something.
Tim looked up at Catherine helplessly. What could he do? Catherine looked down at him with tears welling up in her eyes.
Wait! Shouted Tim. Cooper is innocent, and I can prove it!
Major Portheous sighed. Henderson, who had already begun to raise his sword, looked to his commanding officer for instruction. The Major waved him down.
This had better be good, halfling!
Tim scrambled around in his mind for something to say. Not the right words, necessarily, as he didn't think those actually existed. Just any words would do now. He turned to Captain Righteous.
Do you remember the first time you saw me?
I remember,
said the captain, in a tone of voice that suggested that he was only going to put up with a very small amount of this nonsense.
Do you remember what I had with me when you caught me?
You had some small weapons, said the captain impatiently. A bow and a knife or something. What of it?
That's right, said Tim.
He paused and looked around, making sure he had everyone's full attention.
But what didn't I have?
A week left to live.
The Major chuckled, as did his men. Even Henderson joined in this time.
That's yet to be seen, said Tim. But that's not the point I was trying to make.
I do hope you intend to share that with us very shortly, said the Major.
Of course, sir, said Tim. Your Majorness, or your Majesty, or your Majority.
The Major sighed again and folded his arms.
Ravenous!
Tim shouted. Ravenous, who had been hiding under the canvas, scooted out, stood up, and flew to perch on the edge of the wagon near Tim.
There, said Tim triumphantly. You see?
I see a bird, said the major. What about it?
Well, said Tim, first of all, look how big it is.
He glanced over at his friends and his sister. They were all staring back at him with wide-eyed disbelief.
What are you doing?
Catherine mouthed.
This is nonsense, said Captain Righteous. He's stalling for time.
Time for what?
Asked the major.
Yeah, said Tim. What could I possibly hope to accomplish by buying a few more seconds?
He's a sneaky one, sir, the captain warned.
The major looked down at Tim.
If you have a point, make it now, he demanded. Otherwise, stand aside and let me... Wait, what's this?
His eyes went wide. He dismounted his horse and approached Tim.
You little shit!
The soldiers looked at one another. Captain Righteous stepped back, momentarily confused. He cleared his throat.
Sir?
Tim heard something behind him that might have been a small explosion an instant before Major Portheous snapped his fingers. Startled, he whirled around to investigate the noise. The whole world had become silent and still. Cooper's eyes were clenched shut, and his cheeks bellowed out like ship sails. In front of his face was a frozen mist of snot and spittle. Two balls of snot hung still in the air like a photograph of twin comets racing through an asteroid field. Tim scanned the crowd. No one moved, not even so much as a breath. Not a single blade of grass betrayed the slightest hint of a breeze.
I suppose you think you're pretty clever, said Major Portheous.
Tim turned back around. Time, apparently, hadn't stopped for him or the major. It could only mean one thing. Tim swallowed.
Not really, he said. You kind of gave yourself away stepping out of character like that.
That's not what I'm talking about, said the major, scowling.
Then what are you talking about?
Asked Tim, feigning innocence.
I'm locked in the goddamn freezer!
Oh, right, said Tim. Then I'd like to change my answer to yes. Yes, I do think I'm pretty clever.
Fine, said Mordred. Ha ha! You had your little joke. Now tell me how to get out of here.
Wow, said Tim.
What?
Who's living in a fantasy world now?
Asked Tim, walking away to examine a butterfly. The major followed him.
What do you mean?
Tim got down on his hands and knees. He blew softly against the butterfly, but it didn't stir. He looked up into the major's face.
Do you really expect me to help you murder my friends? You seriously believe that I'm just going to let you out of the freezer and trust you to be a decent guy? This is what you call leverage.
The major's face grew livid. Impotence and hatred shone out of eyes that were unmistakably Mordred's. Tim tightened his lips to a position just short of a smile.
Here's the deal, said Mordred. You and I both know there's a poorly designed handle around here somewhere that I just can't see because it's dark. But I'm feeling around, and I'm eventually going to find it. If I find it before you tell me how to get out of here, I'm going to kill all of you, and it's not going to be quick and painless either.
Tim yawned.
I'll wait.
Fine,
said Mordred. Tim crossed his arms and tapped a foot for a few seconds, and then felt his jaw slacken. The red rage flowed out of the major's face. His skin turned pale, almost gray. Dark circles formed under suddenly heavy eyelids. He looked tired and haggard, and was shivering in spite of the warm sunshine.
I've been at it for hours, said the major through chattering teeth. I can't find the latch.
Seriously? Said Tim. Hours? How can it have been hours?
Mordred sighed.
Time passes differently here. I paused the game, so it's only been a second for you. I'm fucking freezing, man. Please let me out of here.
Did you at least find the popsicles?
Fuck you!
Tim laughed shallowly.
You know my biggest regret? I won't be around to see your obituary. Fat nerd dies alone in chicken freezer.
You're really going to let me freeze to death?
Asked Mordred.
That's really the sort of person you are?
Tim frowned and gazed into the distance. Then he turned back to face Mordred and sighed.
No, Mordred, he said. I'm not going to let you freeze to death.
So there's a way out of here?
Hope sprang into Mordred's voice, though his teeth still chattered.
Oh, yeah, said Tim. Piece of piss, no problem.
He turned around and started walking back towards his friends.
Where are you going? Asked Mordred.
I'm going to go watch all my friends get killed. You coming?
Do you think I'm fucking around? The major shrieked at him. I will murder every last fucking one of you.
Tim stumbled to a stop and turned around.
I swear to God, Mordred, the first one of them that you will lay a finger on is the deal breaker.
The major slumped towards him and dropped to his knees.
Come on, he pleaded. You said you weren't going to let me freeze to death.
And I won't, said Tim. It's barely below freezing in there. You're much more likely to die of dehydration or asphyxiation.
And you're just going to let that happen? Yeah, you're a real fucking hero.
I saw on TV once that you can drink your own piss. I think it was on the Discovery Channel.
Come on, man! I'm begging you!
Tim waved to his friends and shouted,
Sorry, guys! Looks like we're all going to die!
The major grabbed Tim by the shoulder and spun him around.
If I spare you and your friends, will you tell me how to get out of the freezer?
Absolutely, said Tim. He gave the major a cheeky grin.
Major Portheus and Tim returned to where they had been standing when time had stopped. Any slight deviation from their original postures went unnoticed when the major snapped his fingers, as everyone's attention was briefly diverted by Cooper's sneeze.
Is everything okay, sir? Asked Captain Righteous. Everything is fine, Captain. Don't worry about a thing.
He cleared his throat and commanded silence before addressing his men.
It is my order that these prisoners be released immediately and unmolested, and that all charges against them be dropped and forgotten.
A loud murmur rolled through the crowd. Once again, Tim's group of friends looked at him in astonishment. He winked back at them. Henderson removed his helmet and threw it on the ground.
What is the meaning of this? He demanded.
Begging your pardon, sir, said Captain Righteous, but I must agree with young Henderson. This is most irregular.
A murmur of approval echoed out from the soldiers at the captain's words. Major Portheus shifted on his feet and lowered his head.
I find there is, insufficient evidence to warrant further prosecutory action.
Henderson shoved his sword into the ground and picked up the severed head. He raised it once again above his head.
How's this for sufficient evidence? He shouted.
The major glared down at Tim. Tim shrugged. The major sighed.
Let's ask him what he thinks, he said, pointing to the head in Henderson's hand.
The head came to life.
I'm, in a better place now. I don't wish to press charges.
Henderson screamed and threw the head away as if it was suddenly on fire.
Fuck this,
came a voice from within one of the helmets. He was easily identifiable afterward, as he was the one on the horse galloping away. A few more followed after him.
Deserters!
Captain Righteous shouted, moving as if to go after them. Major Portheus put a calming hand on him.
Let them go. It's been a rough day. They'll come back around.
Sir,
said the captain with some hesitation in his voice,
I know it's not my place to question your judgment, but
You are correct, said the major sternly. It is not your place.
Captain Righteous shut his mouth.
However, said the major, if you will join me for a very, very strong drink, I will explain everything. I could use a man like you under my direct command.
Of course, sir, as you wish.
Come on, men,
the major called out.
Let's head back to town. Drinks are on me tonight.
The captain was met with a series of shrugs and contented murmurs. One soldier, however, would not be subdued with the promise of free liquor.
Major, sir!
Shouted Henderson in a decidedly defiant tone of voice.
Yes, Henderson, what is it?
This barbarian monster has besmirched the honor of my mother. I cannot let that go unavenged. I demand his ugly head.
Major Portheus looked down at Tim. Tim shook his head.
How about, said the major slowly and thoughtfully, how about I promote you to the rank of captain?
Henderson's jaw and shoulders dropped.
What?
Really? You did well today, son. I see a lot of potential in you.
Okay,
said Henderson, walking away from Cooper, who was still asleep on the ground.
That'll do. I hear there's an opening in Algor,
said the major, looking over at Captain Righteous.
Let's get back to town, he said,
stepping into his stirrup and mounting his horse.
If ever there was a man and a drink who needed to be together...